The Capital Connection is a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio. David Gustina is the producer of The Capital Connection. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals standing with more than 600,000 workers in education, human services, and healthcare with the Our Voice, Our Values, Our Union campaign. And United University Professions, representing 37,000 academic and professional employees at SUNY campuses and teaching hospitals across New York State. Frederick E. Cole, President, UUPinfo.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us this week is Ed Cox, chairman of the New York State Republican Party. Welcome back, Ed. It's always wonderful to have you here because we always want to get that other side in here.
Pleasure to be with you always, Alan.
Okay, so let's start. The number one headline as we speak today is that Mayor de Blasio is running for president of the United States. What do you make of that? The New York Post showed a whole bunch of people laughing on the front page. What do you make of it?
This is the second time he's run. Remember, in, I guess it was 2015, he went out to Iowa before Mrs. Clinton did, tried to stir something up, and it didn't work at all. Look, he's fighting history. The last mayor of New York to go on to any higher office. DeWitt Clinton in 1817 became governor of New York. Wow. Now, look, we've had some mayors who tried seriously before and looked like they had a good shot at it because you have to have Mayor Rudy Giuliani brought this city back from a city of crime and grime, and he cut taxes.
Don't talk to me about Rudy Giuliani. He's a disgrace.
I tell you, he brought this city back, and on the basis of that, he went out and he campaigned, but it didn't work. It's just very hard for a mayor of New York to ride to the higher up. Now, you take this mayor and you take his problems in the city, he just is not respecting the city. He has not done the job of managing the city. It's a manager's job, and he's been incompetent at it. You take a look at what's happened in NYCHA. Even the Amazon deal, which was actually the governor's, but he came into it. He should have told the governor, hey, you got to take care of these politics here in Queens. To cut your nearest out of this is crazy. It's his district. He should have told. The governor should have understood that. He should have understood that. But he didn't do it. So the Amazon deal didn't happen. He's got a record of incompetence that just does not, that doesn't bode well when you're running for president. Well, how are you doing in your city? And you find out that he's subterranean in his polls in the city.
42%, something like that. 42% approval rating. That's awful. That's worse than Trump.
But he will. He's going to attract a certain portion of his party that really respects the fact that he honeymooned in Havana. And he backed the Sandinistas in Nicaragua. There's a portion of his party that really likes that. So I think he's going to have that. But I'm not sure that that's going to get him the nomination to be president. Now, look, I would love to have him be the nominee. It would be a landslide for President Trump and remake the political landscape. But I don't think he's going to get that nomination.
Well, while we're on the subject, what about Gillibrand tracking in terms of the polls at zero? Zero.
No. I think she's got 0.2%, Alan. Got to be fair about this. It's not zero. But she was destroyed in her debate by Shel Farley, our Republican opponent who went against her. And she said, I'm going to serve my, she got so nervous. She said, I'm going to serve my full 6-year term as U.S. Senator.
Well, they all lie. Re-elected. They all lie,
well,
don't they?
I have to tell you, Shel Farley, our candidate, turned right into the camera and said, I don't believe you, and called her on it right there.
Well, and that won the election for Shel Farley, right? That's why she's U.S. Senator now?
Top election now. But I got to tell
tough
you,
election.
All the flip-flops that this upstate congresswoman, Gillibrand, did in order to get away from being a great supporter. She had guns under her bed. She was a great supporter of the Second Amendment until she became a senator, something she wasn't. Same with immigration.
Now, she grabbed the Me Too issue, let's be fair to her, and she went up front on that. Doesn't seem to be working for her, though.
No, when you knock off a senator of your own party by taking all, when you go and your good friend Bill Clinton, and you said, and you go turn against him, it doesn't quite work. There's a lack of certain political ability there in the way she handled that whole issue, which is why she is not going anywhere.
And, you know, I love when you critique the other party, and that's one of the reasons I love to have you on. So my question...
Alan, it's my job.
Yeah, no, I know it is your job, and as you do it very well. So right now, if you are looking at the 23 or 4 people who are now into the primary, 23 people into the primary, you would ask, I would ask you the following question: who do you think the candidate is going to be?
Well, at the moment, Joe Biden is ahead of the pack, but he has not covered his left flank at all. And they're going to be going after him tooth and nail. And they're the people who show up for primaries and show up for the convention. So despite his lead in the polls, particularly if the president has a very good, as I believe he will, I think it's going to be, and this comes from some of the best macroeconomists I know, I think 2020 is going to be a great year. With that economic win that he can take credit for, with his tax cuts and deregulation, and jobs are booming, unemployment's at the lowest it's been in 50 years. When you have that kind of a record, I'm not sure that you're going to attract any very serious candidate who could get a majority of the country behind them in the other party. You end up with a McGovern-like. The modern equivalent of a McGovern in that kind of a situation.
Well, I think you're wrong. I think Trump is, I think Trump is very unpopular right now. But I want to read you a quote from a very distinct...
He's more popular at this place in the cycle than President Obama was.
Okay, so I want to, if I can, read you a statement from a distinguished human being, very distinguished, who I have a lot of respect for. Quote, President Trump has been totally vindicated. It's after the Mueller report, and it is a good day for America. After 2 years, $25 million, and hundreds of interviews and man hours on one of the most thorough investigations of any U.S. president, today's release confirms what we all knew along: no collusion, no obstruction. Meanwhile, the investigation must now turn to the conduct of intelligence and other officials who abused their positions, and the truth about the phony Steele dossier must be revealed to the public. As the President Trump said, this should never happen again. Okay,
whoever made that statement, that's a darn good statement, Alan.
Yeah, and we all know who made it. You made it. So, the Mueller report came out. Everybody was, all hands were on deck. You had Barr, the attorney general, coming out, giving what a lot of people think is a false narrative.
No. It's a partisan Democrat who thinks it's a false narrative. It's not a false narrative. Look, there are certain problems with the Mueller report. This is a special counsel who was appointed to be a prosecutor. Now, prosecutors, when they go through it, they are supposed to indict, but not incite. If you do not indict, you don't go out there and try and do something else. And it shows that even with respect to Mueller, there was, and it was, when you take a look at the people who the young prosecutors were part of that team, this was a partisan process that actually, by the facts, had to be forced to conclusion that there was no collusion. There's absolutely clear about that.
Well, what about the obstruction part? You said no obstruction.
How can you, when you are absolutely innocent and you know you're innocent, which he knew, no collusion.
How do you know he knew it?
Clear.
I know just the opposite. I think he knew he was guilty as hell, but they didn't have the ability. But then he went around trying to fix in.
Wait a second. Alan, come on. This was a very thorough report by people who came from a partisan point of view.
Wait.
Collusion.
You stop that. Now you stop that. This guy, Mueller, is a Republican. You know that. You know, what do you mean it's a partisan investigation? The guy was a Republican. And by the way, with Trump, one day he's bad, one day he's good. I don't get that.
Take a look at his full team, except for the few people he kicked off because they were too obviously partisan. Other who he kicked off. The young prosecutor and their job, those young guys did all the work. Guys and gals, they did all the work. Just like Mrs. Clinton on the Watergate team, where she actually got kicked off the team because she violated ethics when she was a young lawyer. The same people piled into this.
Well,
team.
You've raised it.
He was a Republican, good friend of Comey's, and this and that, and obviously, but
So is Barr. So is the Attorney General. The Attorney General is a good friend of Comey's also.
Finally, we got an Attorney General who's a straight shooter. He sees it just the way it. For these Democrats, including Congressman Nadler, who's saying, we're going to hold you in contempt unless you give us the completely unredacted report. Well, guess what? He is violating the law. He's asking the Attorney General to violate the law because you cannot release grand jury.
But you know full well the Attorney General can go to... You know full well, Ed Cox, that you can go to the Attorney General of the United States and say, can we approach the courts in order to free this stuff up? It's been done before.
And by the way, he offered them he said, you can look in private. If you want to come and look at the unredacted report, you can read the thing. And you'll find all that stuff's irrelevant. That's the basic underline. And guess what? They didn't take him up on the offer.
A lot of discussion. You know, these guys, including President Trump, go around.
It's all partisan. They know they've got to destroy Attorney General Barr, because if they don't, he is going to start investigating. Now, how did this whole Russian thing start? Who started that Steele dossier? What was the role of the Clinton campaign? Were they colluding with the Russians in doing this and getting Steele to go and talk to the Russians about this? And then they're going to look at, what was the role of Comey? Why is Comey going out, and while it cut against Mrs. Clinton, why is he announcing, here's all her problems, but she's not going to be indicted? The lawyers should do that, the Justice Department.
He won the election for Trump. There's no question. When he came out at the last minute and raised that thing about all of this, you know that he won it. Look,
I'm raising the point in that context to say he was breaking his own rules. The process was not there. Something was going awry in this whole thing. He assumed that Mrs. Clinton was going to win. You have to work through this. These people were playing politics rather than doing their jobs and following the regulations that they should be. When he made that little speech around Mrs. Clinton and said she wasn't going to be indicted, again, here's a person who's playing the role as a prosecutor. He's supposed to be an investigator, the head of the FBI, so he's not in his right role. But he's playing the role of prosecutor, and he is indicting. He's not indicting, but he's inciting. He was breaking his own rules. These people who are in high positions, like Clapper and Brennan and these people who claim they sort of had inside information, Trump was treasonous, and they say afterwards, when it turns out the Mueller report, well, maybe we had bad information, but they were out there in the public domain when they shouldn't have been talking.
I ain't going to duke this out with you forever.
There's a problem, and people in Washington have to do their jobs and obey their own rules and regulations and the law, and that's what...
Well, how about the law of... Ed Cox, what about the law about coming before, you know, the House of Representatives when they legitimately ask somebody? That's what oversight is all about. And you're saying, well, it's all partisan.
The key word in what you should say is legitimately.
Oh, please. I mean, okay, all right, you're the guest. I'm supposed to be nicer to you than I am. Okay,
you're being fine. You're being fine, Alan.
Here's a question. Your father-in-law, of course, was Dick Nixon. Now, I raise this every once in a while, but because you brought it all up. You said Watergate, Mrs. Clinton was a young prosecutor, and Watergate and the rest of it. Do you see any parallels here between... Because I think you've always felt that your father-in-law, Nixon, was screwed. Do you see any parallels here between this and what's going on with this president?
Let's take a big step back. What is at stake here is what party is the majority party in this country. And if you go back and take a look at what President Nixon wanted to do from the time he was elected, and I'll put this in the very broad terms, he wanted to bring in the blue-collar workers who were majority Democrat by what they were, now they deem themselves, but actually they were Republicans by the way their inclinations were. And he wanted to bring them into the party and make them a permanent part of the Republican Party. Now, in 1972, they came and voted for him, but then they went back to the Democratic Party. Reagan brought them in as a Reagan Democrats. They came in, they voted for him in 84, big landslides in 72, 84, and then they went back to being Democrats. Donald Trump has embraced them from the start, and he brought them in to vote for him. He destroyed that firewall in the Rust Belt states of Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin. And he is continuing to talk to them in a way that if he brings them in a very big 2020 victory, which I think we will have, they will become a permanent part of the Republican Party, and the Republican Party will be the majority party in the United States going forward. Now, That is what was at stake back then, and that's what's at stake now.
So how come?
President Nixon did not have one house of Congress. He's the only president elected in modern times who did not have at least one house of his party. Reagan had the Senate, and Donald Trump had both houses.
Yeah, but how come they got the house? Come on, wait, let me have one sentence. I mean, I'm giving you all the time you want. But how come the House of Representatives went Democratic? That is all because people couldn't stand Trump, right?
It was a people, there were Democrats who were so surprised by the biggest upset in presidential elections, Donald Trump winning, they wanted to relitigate the 2016 victory all across the country. On the other hand, they only picked up 60 seats. 40 seats, excuse me. We picked up 63 in 2010. Midterm, first term for any president, the other party always picks up seats. That's just the way it happens.
Well, but you said that that he was going to reconfigure American politics. People would become Republicans and stay that way.
Here's the point. The Nadlers, the other people, they understand that's what Donald Trump's up at, and they're out to destroy him before he gets there. Like he was out. They were out from day one to destroy President Nixon. They could then because they had both houses of Congress. They're not going to be able to do that to Donald Trump.
Okay, your job cannot be easy. You're the Republican chairman in New York State. I like to count you as a friend, but you obviously know that the state Senate went Democratic, and I believe that was because of Trump. But what can I tell you? People turned out; they're furious in New York, and now you have you're being opposed by Nick Langworthy, chairman of the Erie County Republican Committee. He's going to say, oh, boy, this is bad. You're responsible. All these bad things happened. How are you dealing with that?
Well, let's deal first with the fact that the Democrats took over all of Albany for the second time in 10 years. Well, guess what happened after the last time? Power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. And they just made very bad mistakes back then. And we came back in a landslide election in 2010. And we took back the majority in the state Senate. They're making the same mistakes right now. They're what they did with the Reproductive Health Act. That's really energized the base. What they did with respect to felons getting the right to vote, felons getting to sit on juries. These are the things that end. They made a big mistake in 2010 before the election when they had a commuter tax, if you will remember that. That really played against them in the suburbs. Suburbs came back to us, and we won back the majority in the state Senate. Guess what they have now? They have congestion pricing. What's that but another commuter tax? The governor can say, oh, this is only a tax on people from Connecticut and New Jersey. No. This is a tax on commuters. Same mistakes, arrogance of power. Power corrupts, absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Well, what about the guy who's
We are going to come roaring back, especially if the president at the top of the ticket in 2020 does very well, as I think does. We are going to be coming back very strongly. So that's the initial thought. Now, yes. When you have those kinds of losses, you are going to competition is going to happen. And I'm happy for the competition. And we are out there, both of us speaking. We're just here together, shaking hands, talking to people here, shaking each other's. We are working together to build a party, and we're going to build a party. And going out there, talking to the party, competition sort of sharpens you. It makes you more on your game. It gets you out there talking to the base, talking about the issues. We're both doing that. This is part of the party coming back.
I don't get it. I just don't get it. You know, first of all, you left something out of the whole thing with the state Senate. You'll remember that your party, I'm going to admit that the assembly does it also, but there are more Democrats in New York State. Your party seriously gerrymandered the Senate. So for them to lose a seriously gerrymandered Senate is not a good sign.
That has been the way it's been for a century.
Well, that doesn't
law, by the way, the law has now changed. That is no longer the way redistricting works. In 2014, it is now in the Constitution, the state Constitution, and it no longer a majority of each house is going to decide how they are going to, redistricting is going to be done. It is now, particularly when one party controls both houses, you need a two-thirds vote of each house in Albany in order for a redistricting plan to be approved, which probably means that for the first time in 100 years, we will end up with having fair redistricting for two other reasons. One, there are criteria in the Constitution, like compactness and things, so there can be lawsuits with respect to any real overt gerrymandering that the Democrats controlling Albany might try to do. And secondly, there are two cases from, one is being handled by a senior partner in my law firm, the North Carolina case. I've heard about it from him. The other is in Maryland, one Republican gerrymandering, one Democratic gerrymandering, and the Supreme Court is going to come down with a decision. It's going to be like the one man, one vote decision, which really changed things. They're going to say, we're going to the political thicket here because we have to straighten this out. Here are the rules with respect to making sure there are fair districts, not gerrymandered districts.
So yeah, but nevertheless,
the whole landscape will be different in 2020, I guarantee you that.
Okay, but that doesn't absolve you of all the stuff that the Republicans did to maintain control of the state Senate, and you know it.
How about the Democrats in the Assembly?
I
That's
said
just
so.
The way it was done.
I already said so. On the other hand, the Democrats, there are more Democrats in New York State, a lot more than there are Republicans, which is the way that they held on.
What? Put the past aside. Going forward, we're going to have to
put the past aside. I like it. Okay. So.
Well, the future is what's important, not the past.
Well, I think you know what's going to happen in the future based on what happened in the past. Okay, you never answered this question about this guy, Nick Langworthy.
You assume that we're going to be having Democrats, because the majority of Democrats in the state. There's the same majority in Massachusetts, and guess what? They have 8 years of a Democrat and 8 years of a Republican. The most popular Republican governor of any governor.
I know. I voted for him.
In the United States.
I voted for
Charlie Baker.
I voted for him.
You're in Massachusetts, of course. All right. You voted for Charlie Baker.
I know about that.
Good for you.
Because he's a great Republican. Your problem is, and you haven't heard him saying many things good about Donald Trump. That's for damn sure. Here you are out there on the firing lines defending the indefensible.
Yeah, not indefensible when you have economy booming the way it is. And unemployment across the board is down at historical levels. And the economy is going at the kind of rate that the deficit that was created in part by a tax cut is now closing very rapidly because of the increased economy, you get increased revenues. This is Larry Kudlow and Donald Trump's supply side economics. It worked. It worked for Reagan, gave us 20 years of prosperity. It's going to work for Donald Trump, get him reelected in a landslide, and we're going to have prosperity and low unemployment going forward, which is what he campaigned on.
Now, let's talk just for a few seconds here about legalizing marijuana. This governor told me a long time ago he was against it, gateway drug, blah, blah, blah. During the election cycle, he was for it. Now, somehow, some reason, it's not getting done. What do you think? What skullduggery is going on here?
Not skullduggery at all for the first time, because we do not have the Senate's not in a power position. We are free as a party to go out and campaign on issues that are important. And we have a policy action commission that is very good on their research, drawn from a lot of different, with respect, we picked legalization of marijuana as the first thing that we had to go after. The governor put it in the budget. He got his weak health commissioner who will write any report he wants. The report reversed his position as a gateway drug. He said, no, this is perfectly safe. And he was going to cram it through with his budget. We said, no, there are huge issues with respect to legalization of marijuana. We have to be careful. We went out and campaigned on it. The suburbs flipped around and said, if we have an option, we're going to option out of legalization. And the governor then got cold feet and he took it out of his budget for good reason, because you take a look at Colorado, where automobile accidents are going up. The troopers are saying, we have no way we can measure the amount of marijuana bloodstream. There are medical reports that are out there saying, you know, this is really dangerous to people's brains if you smoke too much or you eat too much of this. How do you measure what it is, like you measure alcohol, et cetera, et cetera? Lots of issues that need to be discussed. So it's taken out of the budget, and post-budget, it can be discussed as a serious policy thing that we've got to work over very well. And it was the party that was out, our party, that was out in the forefront forcing the governor to take it out of the budget.
Do you think you could take the Senate back? The Republicans can take the Senate back?
Yes.
I don't.
Yes.
I don't think so.
There's going to be a huge revolt against the way they're doing their business. By the way, it could be a whole different method of electing state senators and assemblymen in 2020 when this commission reports on December 1 how we are going to have matching funds, public financed elections. Huge change in the process.
Are you for
it? No one for that?
Yes.
I am general. I'll speak just for myself, because they're obviously not a part. Generally, using public funds to finance elections, that doesn't appeal to me. When we did, I'll tell you, it did benefit our mayoral candidate, Nicole Malliotakis, in the last mayor's race.
Because the city has
she
it.
Because of matching funds, she had $4 million against the Blasio, $7 million, and she did a great job going after him, exposing all those issues. She held up very well in the very raucous debate, which I'm sure you watched.
Which is why she's mayor right now, right?
Well, she wasn't going to become mayor because it's a Democratic city, and absent some big incident like Crown Heights.
You just said Charlie Baker in a Democratic state got to be governor. Now you're saying that.
But Massachusetts is not 7-1 Democrat like New York City. It's about 2-1. It's different.
Okay.
Those are different odds. And a Republican mayor can win, as Bloomberg did because of the 9/11 and because of Crown Heights, Rudy Giuliani, and the terrible situation that the city was in. They're ready to take a Republican as mayor. But it's very hard.
She did
establish herself in a way that she is now running for Congress in that Staten Island district. As a result, she is probably going to win that because she established a great reputation in campaigning for mayor.
I got 1 minute. I want to ask you about driver's licenses for undocumented immigrants.
Boy, that can really confuse a lot of things with respect to giving illegals the right to have a driver's license. With respect to identity in different situations, that does not work. I would be against that.
Thank you to my good friend Ed Cox, chairman of the New York State Republican Party. You're always here with us. You duke it out on a fair basis, and we so appreciate it.
Alan, it's always a pleasure to do it with you.